Welcome to our podcast. It's Tools Day, baby, and we're on at last. Talking about animation, new APIs for creating movement and smooth UIs. We've got a guest, the web moves, interactions, good darling. Should build it in from the start. When you build an app, animate the UI from your heart. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we have a guest on the show, as you might have heard in the intro song. We have Rachel Neighbors here. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Super excited to have Rachel on the show. Rachel works on the Edge browser at Microsoft and advocates for an interactive web. She literally today just released a brand new ebook with a list with a book apart about bringing animation into your web design called Animation at Work. So be sure to check that out. It looks like a really great book there. How long have you been working on that?
Yeah, it's also really short. Well, for a book that took me so many years to actually make, it'll take a person reading it like one flight, one commuter flight to finish, which is, I mean, I guess I did my job.
Yes.
You know, 5 years worth of research, 1 year worth of writing, half a year worth of editing and killing darlings, and boom, now you can stand on my shoulders.
That's awesome. We love brevity here. That's why we try to keep the show short, and people really appreciate that. So yeah, those books
yes.
that Alista Part Books like puts out are really great because they are short. They give you the content mm-hmm. and you could just, you know, take it and go and learn all the stuff.
Yeah, their new brief series is especially nice. It's just ebooks and they're super short, so it's a great way to bone up on a single topic.
Nice. So if you could have guessed probably by that, today we're talking about web animation. That's our topic and animation tools. Whenever we have guests, we tend to forget to tell the topic of the show to you all, but it's fine. It's in the title, self-explanatory. You got this. So Rachel, I want to start by asking you, like, what is cool and new in the web animation sphere?
Oh, well, we're seeing a great uptick in the adoption of the Web Animations API. The full API is shipping on Firefox now, and some of its objects have been found in Safari's developer Nightly as well. And you can find many, many bits of the API in Chrome today. So everything's moving forward at a nice little pace. And I don't know, I'm really excited about where things are going with the API. It lets us do so much that we couldn't do before without using like request animation frames, et cetera. It literally like opens up the browser's CSS rendering engine and lets you play with the timelines and animation objects in there.
Yes, that's a good segue to, you know, if people aren't familiar at all with the Web Animations API, you know, at what point in doing animation work do you start and turn to the Web Animation API itself?
Good question. So I'm assuming that you're an implementer and not merely making really cool GIFs to put on Dribbble like some of us do from time to time. So if you're actually implementing animations, the Web Animation API where it really shines is when it comes to building animations into like a framework, a user interface framework. That said, Angular 4, its animations module is shipped separately. They're not baked in. But by default, it runs on the Web Animations API out of the box. It has all the callbacks and things that you would expect with CSS animations and transitions, but they're more reliable. You use the JavaScript functions. And you put your behavior in your JavaScript with the Web Animations API. So you're not having all your interactions behavior stored in your style sheets, which can get pretty interesting when you're separating your concerns there, your style versus your behavior. So I would say the Web Animations API makes a lot of sense for people who are working in user interface frameworks, or if you want to experiment with doing something really cool and interactive, the API is definitely fun to play around with.
So if I was to build a user interface, I know that CSS transitions are really nice. Where would I use transitions and animation CSS versus using the Web Animation API? Or would you say just use the Web Animation API and keep those concerns separated?
It depends a lot on your target audience. For instance, CSS animations and transitions enjoy solid support across the bulk of modern-day browsers. There are some things that make them a little tricky to build an animation library with. For instance, transition end events firing. There's this thing where if you have a transform on something and the transform changes, but visually nothing changes, does a transition event end event fire? Well, not reliably. So in that case, it might make more sense to lean back on the web animation API's events. It makes a lot of sense in that regard. On the other hand, if you want better, you know, across the board support, the API still isn't supported in Internet Explorer or in Edge or in Safari, even though some of its objects are showing up in preview. We don't actually know what that's going to mean for the future of Safari. So if you're looking at compatibility across the board, you might want to go with CSS animations and transitions. There are libraries that make up for the little weird end events things, etc. They're pretty awesome. But in that regard, I would say that the Web Animations API is a future-facing thing to adopt. I know some people who've built interfaces where if your browser doesn't support the Web Animations API, the interface just uses cuts. It doesn't have any animation. And that makes sense. Ostensibly, you could say that if people aren't running the most modern browser, they probably aren't on the best place to be running animations. So that's one option. I actually really like that sort of progressive enhancement approach to animation. But there's also a really nice polyfill that the folks over at Chrome developed for Polymer, and you can get it. It's Web Animations JS, and it polyfills like all the way several versions down of Internet Explorer as well. That way you're assured that it will work across all browsers.
Oh, I was just going to ask about fallbacks.
Yeah, do you know how big that polyfill is?
That was my second question.
15 kilobytes unzipped, I believe.
Come again?
I think it's 15 kilobytes unzipped.
So not awful.
That's not bad. Lighter than Green Sock.
That's really not bad.
Although it doesn't offer shape morphing.
So kind of when it comes to, you know, implementing something with a polyfill, I feel like there's got to be really good reason to implement it before I consider, you know, using something that requires additional load on the user. What is sort of the most powerful feature of the Web Animations API? Or at least to you, I guess it's an opinion question.
That is an opinionated question. For me, I mean, when you think about it, the Web Animations API, when it was first described, had a lot of really cool features in it. It was offering sequencing and grouping. These were things we haven't seen in animations since the days of Flash. And Flash, you know, for as much as we malign it, it had a lot of good ideas going for it. Well, the API had those in its original draft, but in an effort to just get the spec written and, you know, pushed to adoption, those features were moved to level 2 of the spec. Currently, what browsers are implementing is level 1. The idea was that level 1 perfectly describes CSS animations and transitions, and these sequencing features have been moved elsewhere. But once again, leading back to those end events I told you about, I've actually seen people build some people on the Animation at Work Slack, actually, they have built libraries that recreate sequencing and grouping using the Web Animation API. So you can go ahead and use them with the API. Just, you know, it's, the idea is that you can still fire these things in sequence with another if you set up your JavaScript objects right.
Okay. We're just kind of battering you with questions right now, yeah. And I apologize for that. But okay, I have a lot of questions about this because this is a topic I don't know a ton about. I kind of experiment with and then put aside in the next sprint. But when I think animation, oftentimes I'm thinking like, hey, I'm going to use Green Sock for this. So when would I not use Green Sock and instead use the Animation API?
Interesting you should mention Green Sock. I feel like Green Sock, and I love the people who developed Green Sock, so I feel like a total heel saying this. and maybe I shouldn't. But I feel like Green Sock is today what jQuery was back in the heyday of jQuery. I mean, before jQuery, using JavaScript cross-browser was kind of a pain in the butt. You're like writing so much JavaScript, you know, to make up for the inconsistencies across browsers that a library came along and said, hey, how would you like to just let us do that for you? And you can write code once and it will run everywhere. It will just work. And that was a godsend. A lot of people got into JavaScript front-end development because of the ease with which they could adopt jQuery, and that was great. Now, GreenSock does that for us now. It normalizes SVG animations. It creates like really dynamic animations that, let's be honest, the Web Animations API is still quite a ways away from recreating. It does a lot of things that we're just not capable of doing with CSS and animations and transitions today, and won't be capable of doing with the Web Animations API for a while. Now, I could also say that after this Web Animations API is fully adopted across the board by every browser ever in existence, what would be the compelling case between, you know, should I use this API or should I use GreenSock? Well, you should probably only be asking that question if you're doing really immersive interactive things. Think agency, think demo, think the cool new thing that's up on the big screen at SIGGRAPH. You know, it's a heavy duty animation library. It's also a heavy animation library. One day it may be built on top of the Web Animations API and you might lose some of its code weight for that, but that day is a long way off in the future. So I'm going to say, if you want super robust animations that perform well across every browser ever today, you probably want GreenSock or CSS animations and transitions if you're just doing UI animation and less interactive stuff. Tomorrow, though, you will have more choices, and some of those choices are going to look better for your users.
I really like that comparison of like GSAP, GreenSock, being like the jQuery of animation, and it's necessary right now, like you were saying. It's something that we need. One of the features that GSAP like really brought to life was, you know, timelines for animation. Is that something that the Web Animations API also provides?
The Web Animations API does provide timeline objects, and some of the more exciting specs involve building out scrolling timeline objects. Like, I love the idea of, you know, right now in level one, there's just one timeline object, and you can read the position of the animation at any place along that timeline. It's super cool. You can run animations forward, you can run them backward, you can line them up against the document's timeline. It's great. So the idea is that maybe in the future there could be timelines that are tied to like the length of the page. So as you're scrolling, where you are on the page dictates the current time of the animation. OMG, all those parallax effects. You could have like this live scrubber. Doesn't that sound amazing and fun? It sounds amazing and fun to me.
That does, yeah. But no, I like, so y'all can't see this right now, but Rachel is like super excited. She's like moving her body and like moving, showing us where these animations are in space and time. And I love it.
It's a passion project of mine. So what I loved the scrolling time, the scrolling timeline thing so much that one of my coworkers, Matt Rackow, he works in composition and rendering on Edge. He's really, really cool. You'll never see him in public because he doesn't like to get on stages and talk, but oh my God, he's awesome. I just love talking animation with him. And I was like, I wish we had scrolling timelines today, Matt. And Matt was like, but Rachel, why couldn't you just create a timeline that was in proportion to the document's length and then read the scroll position and convert that over to the current time on the timeline? I was like, Matt, you're a genius. So I did it and created a little I took one of my old Alice in Wonderland demos where you're scrolling her down the well and there's this whole scroller library in there. And it's this big library. And I ripped the library out and just, I did exactly that technique and it worked like a charm. And it was just like, yes, this is the future. Yes, but please don't use parallax everywhere. Yes.
That's what I was going to bring up actually a second ago when you mentioned like creating this scroll timeline, because the page that you're describing, this Alice in Wonderland animation, is very fluid and it just like moves down the page and there's like things going back and forth. And it's just like a really beautiful use case for that. What made you build that? Like, what gave you that idea?
Wow, that is from back in the day when I had been working in Raleigh, North Carolina at various little startups, and I had just been to CSS DevConf for the first time ever in Hawaii, the first one. That was great. Some of you might not remember back in the day, but we were in Hawaii and it was awesome. And after that, I thought, you know, I really like animations. I want to keep doing stuff with this. And Adobe was like, we like your moxie. Make us a demo and write about it for Inspire, our online magazine, which at the time was very web focused. Since, I don't know what's going on with it, but I made them this beautiful demo, this interactive storybook of Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, I did the scroller library. I made it responsive. It had Hammer.js. I did all this stuff to tell this story because I wanted to show that you could still tell immersive interactive stories on the web without Flash. And that is more true today than it ever was before.
Yeah, it's a very cool project. We'll link to it in the show notes. Also, you have this like web animations demo page that kind of shows a lot of different visualizations using the web animations API. That's really beautiful and kind of entrancing. I'm looking at it right now. I like Galaxy.
Oh, that's not mine. That is the web animation API demo page that I think the Google Chrome people put together.
These are actually really cool. I'm kind of poking around them now since we're here. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's like the code behind it is like fairly terse to do all these things, right? It's like not much required to generate them.
The syntax of the web animations API is fairly straightforward. You make a keyframe object and you hit play. It's a little bit different from GreenSock, which I think takes a bit more from the jQuery grab stuff, do stuff with stuff kind of methodology. But it's amazing how lightweight these animations can be. And just the idea of wrapping a framework around them, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's actually kind of mind-blowing. I'm looking at some of these code things. You know, one of the things I always kind of freak out about writing JavaScript animations is just like the amount of like things you have to maintain and manage. And like these things are like 12 lines of code to generate these things.
Yeah.
And like ideally no dependencies.
Yeah. If you want to create animations that work with this like timeline-esque sort of fake timeline right now with JavaScript, it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, and you have to like send request animation frame and wait for things to move and change. And you can use callbacks for that sort of thing, like send fake keys through functions. That's kind of what I'm doing right now because we're like, oh, no dependencies if you don't need them, rah, rah. But something like the Web Animations API, when it is supported, could just really help with that development. I would like it.
Now, you might not have known this, but the CSS animation and transition tools you see in browsers like Chrome and Firefox are made possible with this API. It allows people to speed up, slow down, reverse, pause, etc. Timelines for their animations, thus allowing for greater inspection of CSS animations and transitions. I'm not saying those tools are perfect or something you would use to compose an animation, but as far as inspection goes, they're very handy.
And that's the DevTools animation pane in Chrome and Firefox?
Both have animation tabs, I believe.
So I've never actually tried this, but theoretically, would it be possible to update an animation from going forwards to backwards in CSS? Yeah.
Well, you could use animation, I think it's animation direction reverse.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, the Web Animations API basically makes all that is possible with CSS possible with JavaScript.
So you could do most of the things except for more specific timeline events and also on animation end events, end start.
Right. And really, the pause and reverse, you would have to like be slapping classes on your DOM or tie into a hover event. And the nice thing with the API is you don't have to actually change class on the DOM or touch the DOM even. You can just respond immediately there in the animation engine.
Oh, nice.
No layout required.
Are there any other like new animation tools that we should know about?
New tools. Oh, my gosh.
We like tools here.
Oh my god, I haven't been hyped about an animation tool in some time, but I can give you the nitty-gritty on the direction in which the tech world is moving. So, Principle was the great darling of people working with animations in the past, but recently Kite has shown up as being a competitor to this space. More and more people are getting into the Kite app. I haven't actually decided which one I like better, but encourage you, if you're working a lot with UI animation, to give them both a spin and see which ones you like. They're both Mac-based. Of course, people are still using After Effects to create demonstration animations and export to videos. But I got to say, I've been trying to learn After Effects. That user interface needs some help.
It's very complicated and massive and takes forever to render. Wow, I've never heard of Kite before.
Yeah, Kite. I think it's at kiteapp.com.
Let me check.
Kiteapp.co. Yeah.
It's like really intended for UI, it looks like.
It is. Most of the times you'll find that animation-based, the best animation-based prototyping or basically like composition interfaces are designed with apps in mind. Usually apps that run on iOS or on the Mac operating system. Partly that's because both of these systems have really solid core animations. So they're exposed at a level that makes it possible for developers to build interfaces to compose the animations. Other options, speaking...
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
You were saying other options?
No. I have like a different topic. You're giving me a chance to just think more.
Oh, okay. I just have like another topic that I was going to move on to, but I wasn't looking, so I didn't see you were speaking.
No, move on to the other topic. I think this is probably enough.
Okay, so today, actually, someone sent me, kind of speaking about After Effects, a plugin that exports your movie into this like SVG HTML thing. I didn't look too much into it, but it uses a few effects that are SVG effects, like tint and drop shadow, tritone, and it seems to be kind of interesting. I've heard about a few of these like After Effects scripts and plugins that will transform things for you into like web tech.
Are you talking perchance about Body Movin'?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Body Movin' is pretty ace. I was fortunate enough to meet its developer, Hernan Torisi, when I was in Argentina last year. And he is married to an animator who gives him so much feedback about the process and the tool as he's building it. I love it. They're like That's awesome. Husband and wife duo, and Body Movin' is the product of that collaboration. It's like, I know teams who use it anywhere I go where people are prototyping. I hear them talking about Body Movin' now. It exports to SVG. It also is a part of Airbnb's Lottie tool, which exports to, get this, React Native, iOS, Android, and I believe Windows now too.
Wow.
So if you're building UI animations and you want to export from After Effects, Lottie's got your back.
This is so interesting.
Airbnb's like tooling is so crazy. Like the stuff they put out is insane.
Lottie is beautiful, and Body Movin' also. Again, this is happening where I'm looking at this screen right now, and I just am entranced by it. I can't believe it like ports out to React Native.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I wonder how performant this is, because I feel like After Effects is just such a different use case than general UI. Like when I learned it, I was in college taking a like cartoon animation class.
Well,
and many people in cartooning, many people in studio animation would tell you that After Effects is the inappropriate tool for that. They would suggest something like Toon Boom Studio, which is the current favorite and being used to create the My Little Ponies movie.
Good to know.
I think the fun part of After Effects is that there are a lot of designers who learn After Effects in art school, right? And so when they make a shift to UI, if they do, they already have this skill set. So it's really cool taking that skill set and making it relevant in the web today. So that's super cool.
I think After Effects is to people who work with things that move and change over a timeline, the same way Photoshop is to people who have an artistic expression. I mean, it's designed for photographers, but I know so many cartoonists who use Photoshop to do their pencils, their inks, their coloring, etc. I know digital painters who use it. It's supposed to be for one thing. Like After Effects is really been designed to do bumpers and blurbs and those flyovers you see when you're watching the 10 o'clock news. But the people who learn it are going to adapt that tool to do the thing that they need most for their given job situation.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of like editing vectors in Flash. You could do it there. It works. It's not what it was intended for. It's very versatile.
Hey, so long as it exports to a proper SVG format.
Yeah. All right. So we're wrapping up the show a little bit. It's hitting that mark. I do want to ask, do you have any advice for people who are just getting started with animating on the web or the Web Animations API or just curious about it? What resource would you send them to?
If people want to learn more about the Web Animations API, they should go to rachelneighbors.com/WAAPI. It is a big bucket list of talks, links, tutorials, etc. It's your number one stop for getting started really fast with the API. And we all understand how important speed and conciseness is here. So I think people can appreciate that. There are a couple of, I've seen some really good tutorials floating around recently. I'm hoping to update the page soon. Let's see, is this where I'm supposed to like officially be like, and I have a course?
Yes.
Yeah.
This worked out great for that.
Additionally, you can find my courses on CSS animations and transitions on Frontend Masters and at my site under courses.rachelneighbors.com. And I have a very special gift for your Tools Days listeners today. Well, I've got a coupon code if you use the code Tools Day, all caps, on checkout, you'll get a nice little discount.
Sweet. So Tools Day on checkout, what is the link that people can go to?
Courses.rachelneighbors.com.
You go courses.rachelneighbors.com. Also, I've seen a few of Rachel's talks and they're beautiful. They're so well put together. I haven't seen your course yet, but if it is anything like your talks, I'm sure that it's just really well thought through. So I think that's probably an awesome resource for learning web animation. Also, have your new ebook is out, so check that out. It's at A List Apart. It's a book apart ebook. Yeah.
You can find my new book, Animation at Work, at abookapart.com. I got a short URL for you here. Maybe I should say that one instead.
We can just link it at the end.
Hang on a moment. This is me. This is me doing this. It's like, is it AAW? Nope. Never mind. Anyway, if you go to abookapart.com, you can find my book, Animation at Work. And if you use the wonderful coupon code TOOLSDAY, you will get 10% off that as well, because we love you so much.
Sweet. Thank you so much for giving our listeners some little nuggets to take home and to chew on, a little candy there. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week to Tools Day. If you like our show, please leave a review or a rating on iTunes or on any podcast listening device you use. I want to shout out to Webflow for always supporting us. Y'all are the best. Rachel, thank you again for coming on the show. If you want to follow Rachel, her Twitter handle is Rachel Neighbors, RachelNaBors. We'll have all of these links in the show notes. Also, we have a Patreon, so if you do want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/toolsday. We're TOOLSDAY, as you know. It's just kind of fun to say, so I always say it at the end of the show. And thanks for
a little like marching band.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.